Okay, do you have something to say about Peterson, Jordan Peterson?
Yeah, you asked me about a while about the star article here, right? I'm just looking at it right now.
Yes.
Refreshing my memory.
Well, it's written by his best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Who brought him into the university.
Yeah, so the article says here. Yeah, I remember when this came out. Well, was it like a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, a month ago.
Yeah, I haven't made it down to the end yet, but so far, you know, the idea of conjecture at truth so far is the charge made against Peterson here, right?
Yeah. So you have his friend who brought him into the University of Toronto. His family even lived with the friend for a year while Peterson's house would get settled. And he got flack for hiring Peterson, but he defended him, you know, through the years. But once he became famous over the last couple of years, he thought his behavior changed. And then Peterson made some fanatic statement about his wife, some panicky statement. And this guy, I forget his name, Bernard or something, didn't like that. Got a little scared, and then he was forced to write this article warning the world about Peterson is at least going to redo Hitler, if not something worse. And I sent this to someone who likes Peterson, and they said, well, that's love and betrayal. His friend got jealous and betrayed him. But you liked Peterson. I think you're the first person to tell me about him. When you read something like that, does his influence on his thoughts on you change?
Not me, really. No. Let's see here. Here's a paragraph. Has a complex relationship to freedom of speech. He wants to effectively silence those professors by keeping students away from their courses because students may one day become anarchical social revolutionaries. Like, something like that rings to me like it's not the same sort of, it's not equatable as far as freedom of speech goes to say warning students that their class is full of, for instance, what Jordan Peterson thinks of as social justice ideology and that, you know, something like that. Like, well, as far as Jordan Peterson goes, his stuff is built up of trying to build truth out of myth and whatnot. So there's conjecture in the way that he tries to tie together in many different layers of truth out of things like scripture or Bible or the history of you know, ancient religions and stuff. Right, he's a very idiosyncratic thinker. Carl Jung, yeah, exactly. He's a really idiosyncratic thinker, which, I mean, the article goes so far to say. So the fact that he's now become now, you know, is one of the people railing against the more postmodern or, you know, schools of thought in academia, definitely challenge to the majority of the humanities departments in academia who are moving that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, an article like this is needed because it's well written, and again, it's much better than, like, it's better to have an article like this than most of the articles that try to slam Peterson based on nothing that just make the media look insubstantial and bad. I mean, there's a lot of meat to chew here, but at the same time, everyone kind of recognizes that Jordan Peterson isn't just some guy who reads from the textbook and is in fact a guy who drove himself crazy for 15 years on a search for truth and is making a lot of his own personal truths with what he said when he, you know, charged against extremism on the left and on the right, you know, which he has such an established record on doing that, you know, his particular pedagogy ways of expressing that truth. I mean, sure, question that all you want. It's really good to scrutinize people who bring their own shit to the classroom, right? But I like his brand of shit, and so, no, this article doesn't change my mind on it.
Okay, so in the article, an old Ionaut, Sue Bone, is quoted, and she says, he's going to wake up the West. Now, take that statement and put that against your understanding of McLuhan. What's Jordan in between that?
As waking up the West, that would entail trying to recapture a sense of temporality. I mean, his whole future authoring suite is about writing the past, understanding the story that you live in, and then projecting into the future something good while projecting possible risks and calamities in the future and trying to work to avoid those, right? So it's breaking you out of the constant now. It's breaking you out of the lock with the masses living in the short term. Yeah.
So
if people try to return to actually try to slow down their life and go against the current of the system, which is all built around the consumer proclivity for instant gratification and the desire for novelty. Like, if the economy is built around people's most short-term dopaminergic, as you would say, a dangling ganglia sort of thinking, then waking up the West to me implies people trying to get a hold of themselves and overcome that part of themselves and, helpless to or not, attempt to try to look forward to future. Now, of course, so that would be my interpretation.
What was your last sentence? You blipped out there, the last bit.
Well, I'm just, what do you, Bob, think would is the big hurdle someone would have to overcome to actually be able to succeed at creating a narrative in the postmodern 21st century?
Well, there's lots of online groups for whatever meme you're into. So you can have a chip bot experience with any thought form, any scenario. Now, is that satisfactory? And then, since the alphabet and the printing press created the West and its uniqueness, and the McLuhan says you can't bring back the molding, the MK Ultra that the printing press did on the Western masses. So, to me, if Jordan is trying to do that, then he is only talking about a meme, an afterimage of visual space and the Gutenberg galaxy. But the mass mind of the 80s and 90s, the early digital phase, then it get crystallized into the political correctness and social justice warriors. But that obviously is not what people experience with their quadriphenic chip bodies and chemical bodies and all that's happening to them right now. So his ideas of individual assertion would find a resonance in where people are right now. So then you look at McLuhan. They thought he was tribally for being tribal in the 60s. And he comes out of the University of Toronto, and people think he is supporting what seems to be a new trend of tribalism. It turned out to be just a fad, but there was tribalism coming in deeper than beyond counterculture values. So they thought he wrote that, and he was for that. And then if you got to know him and read his books closely, he wasn't. So here we have the opposite. There's a trend towards retrieving individualism and even visual national boundaries and visual space of identity. And so then another guy comes out of the University of Toronto where he seems to be supporting the trend like they thought McLuhan was supporting. And maybe when you actually talk to him, study him closely, he's not exactly what the trend is that he seems to be promoting. So like McLuhan, but the exact opposite. What ideas do you get about that? What I just said, McLuhan was one thing, now the opposite. Do you agree with that?
Yes. To focus on McLuhan, I mean, my reading of McLuhan is that he was deathly terrified of the tribalization and yet was reported publicly as being its cheerleader or its herald.
Right. So what is Peterson reported to be cheerleading, and yet if you get to study him properly, he's not? Is there something there that he's not as McLuhan was not?
Yes. you could say that, Peterson is getting people to not try to change the world, but rather work on and fix themselves. So you could say that
right.
A return to locality is how I'm conceptualizing it for myself, right? I'm trying to read more Canadian news and local news and whatnot. To recapture what I read of, you know, say in Croker about the loss of, you know, just immediate space, right? Which
right.
resonated with me, right? So superficially that could be seen as pulling people out of social activism.
Yeah.
In order to improve their own immediate circumstances and, say, you know, build a financial state, sort of get life skills that are important, or literally just, you know, learn how to clean their room and you know, get their act together, right? Or stop doing drugs or whatever it is, right? However,
yeah.
in a few years' time, see, that's an investment now that'll pay off in a few years' time if and when a sufficient amount of the people who listen to him are do pull themselves together, then they can re-engage society from a more with leverage, with security, with actual intent and purpose, right?
Right.
So you look to these people to become socially active, and that could be involved, like in the church sorting, you know, 2-5 years from now, while they
yeah.
spend the next few years sorting themselves out. Also, I would say that, let me think. I had another point.
Well, see if this reminds you. So like Ion says the general world condition in general is going to get pretty dire. But you, one individually, can have a good time or get balanced. So actually, Peterson is saying on one level that don't get too active in trying to change the world. The world is pretty running amok right now. The Android meme is doing it to itself. So get back to yourself and figure out how to get poised in this situation. That would be, you know, he may not be resonating with Western values. He just may be practically relevant to people to not worry so much about the big picture. You might be able to help locally, but so that might be practical. You know what I mean? What do you think of that? Does that
yes.
remind you of what you were going to say?
I'm sure that his big picture, yes, I think I remember. His big picture is temporal. It's historical. It's not the ever resonating present now of all of, you know,
right.
The globe. It's not a spatial picture. It's a temporal big picture with your life situated in your grand, right, I suppose, the grand narrative, which has been, you know, torn down, I suppose, by postmodernism, you might say. The other thing where there's a bit of a contradiction is that Jordan Peterson has a whole bunch of followers. Now, it's funny because they're probably like 40% women and like 60% white, yet the media continues to just smear them on because the media is incapable of any sort of nuance when it comes to identity politics, which is probably one of Jordan Peterson's greatest strengths, is that
yeah.
the fact that, you know, his audiences are 40% women who are sick of being called white men for no good reason, right, for having their identities erased, that's been driving this drama, this rebellion against social justice for the last couple of years now. It's a literal whitewashing, right? Jordan Peterson has a whole bunch of followers, and yet he is ostensibly against people. He wants everyone to be an individual
yeah.
in the McLuhan sense, not an individual
yeah.
in the consumerist sense, is what McLuhan
right.
calls a man, but what modern consumerism, you know, calls individualism, right? It's interesting how McLuhan's completely backward to
yeah.
most everyone else with what he calls an individual.
Yes. He reversed a lot of stuff on purpose. He took a lot of the cliches and then put the opposite meanings on them.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of his shaking up the language. So this Now, another thing is that I was telling Sue Bone that Peterson is not a thinker. He's an actor. And there's a crisis in academia about the role of education, the role of PhDs, the role of getting degrees. And that's been going on for like 30 years, but it's pretty bad now with this, you know, other kind of information world that people can engage. So I think the public is fascinated by, the American public, North American public is fascinated by the crisis in education. And a academic showed up who I've never seen him do this, but apparently he cries in his lectures. He gets quite worked up and emotional, you know, more, not so detached and book-lined professor. And he does, like Carolyn says, he's manic depressive. So anyways, assuming he does that, then they're watching an academic have an identity crisis. And that's part of his appeal. Because Northrop Frye wouldn't start crying. You know,
right,
it's ridiculous.
Right.
So there's something different about Peterson. There's a showbiz aspect. I don't know if he's conscious of it. But
yes, he is.
Go ahead.
Peterson is very explicit in how to talk to crowds as someone who has made a living addressing instances of his students, and that is that he never talks. He lives, and then he says he always talks directly to the engaged contact with everyone. He looks at them. He reads the body language if what he's saying was working. Right? He works the crowd much like a comedian does. He feels the room, and he always flying by the seat of his pants, making up his lectures. And he seldom plans them, and seldom uses notes, and he doesn't know what he's going to say before he says them. So you're right insofar as he's an actor or he's playing a role when he's live, right? But and I suppose you could say most of his thinking has been done with. He spent 20 years being a thinker. It's also that it's now a thing he can spin extemporaneously, and that is what makes it unique.
And I know exactly what that is. I do that myself. I've got a lot of ammunition in my head, a lot of stuff I thought about and organized, and I can do what he's doing, so I understand him.
You dodged Plato's conundrum about having too much of yourself moved off onto paper. You actually managed to keep a lot of it in your noggin, right?
And he seems to have done that. So if you think of book values... Go ahead.
Yeah, he. It's a reoccurring point that whenever he's being interviewed and there's a camera in the room, the person interviewing him who is trying to challenge him is sitting there with 27 pieces of paper looking over their notes trying to find something to get him with. And he's with one piece of paper drawing something the entire time, like
looking
over every attack, right? It's in a popular image of him. It's all in his head.
Right. So he is if people think he's retrieving the Western values, no, he's not. And if they look at this oral, tactile kind of guy he is, he's very modern. He's actually, McLuhan was like that, you know, didn't use much notes, made it up on his own or worked with all the ammunition he had and was spontaneous and that was appealing. Nobody had seen a professor like that. So, okay, so Peterson in style is a replay of McLuhan, but we're further along into the apocalypse, so he has to be a little more emotional about it. As part of his entertainment thing. And that would be his...
Well,
and so then the social justice warriors are trying to get fixed on certain issues, which is a point of view and a literate value, and work with some kind of part of the public and get some movement. They are totally inadequate in relation to him. If people like the spontaneity.